We have the prophetic word confirmed. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. Peter emphasizes in 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 21, that God's word is absolutely reliable. The prophetic word comes to us as Holy Scripture. Peter continues, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. In what sense do we have this prophetic word confirmed? The Greek word translated confirmed is a comparative, meaning more firm or more sure. How can something that is already sure be more sure? If it is authenticated or confirmed, how has God confirmed His word? God has authenticated the prophetic word, one, by His own testimony, two, by the testimony of His Spirit, three, by the testimony of His Son, four, by the testimony of inspired witnesses, and five, by His verification of their testimony through signs, wonders, powers, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. The prophetic word is confirmed by the testimony of God the Father. Peter had just written, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with Him on the holy mountain." 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 18. "We" refers to Peter, James, and John. "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him.'" Matthew 17, verse 5. The Father also testified when Jesus was baptized, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Matthew 3, verse 17. God's testimony is trustworthy. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. 1 John 5, verses 9 and 10. There is no excuse for rejecting the testimony of God. God testified through the prophets. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Acts 10, verse 43. John the Baptist, the last Old Covenant prophet, testified, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." John 1, verses 29 and 34. God testifies through the Scriptures. In Revelation, he tells John, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Revelation 21, verse 5. To unbelieving Jews, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." John 5, verses 39 and 40. The prophetic word is confirmed by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his apostles, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John 15, verse 26. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. 1 John 5, verse 6. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 17. The prophetic word is confirmed by the testimony of Jesus. Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God. Revelation 19, verse 13. The faithful witness. Revelation 1, verse 5. The faithful and true witness. Revelation 3, verse 14. Pharisees disputed his testimony. "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus replied, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true." John 8, verses 13 and 14. "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." John 8, verses 17 and 18. The works of Jesus confirmed that God had sent him. "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. John 5, verses 36 and 37. The testimony of Jesus was confirmed by signs. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. John 2, verse 23. Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." John 3, verse 2. On Pentecost, Peter said that Jesus was a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Acts 2, verse 22. The prophetic word is confirmed by the testimony of inspired witnesses. We did not hear Jesus teach, but we know what he taught through the writings of inspired witnesses. Jesus appointed his apostles as witnesses. Their testimony is reliable because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Speaking to his apostles, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." John 14, verse 26. "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." John 15, verse 27. Peter stated, "We are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Acts 5, verse 32. God confirmed the testimony through signs. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. The phrase "also bearing witness" is one word in Greek that means co-witnessing, testifying together with someone else. The signs were not independent testimony, but supporting testimony. Signs supported the testimony of those who heard Jesus. Other passages tell us that signs, wonders, powers, and gifts of the Holy Spirit were done through the apostles. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Acts 2, verse 43. "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people." Acts 5, verse 12. The first non-apostle who did great wonders and signs among the people was Stephen. Acts 6, verse 8, who was one of the seven upon whom the apostles had laid their hands. Acts 6, verses 5 and 6. The second non-apostle who performed signs was Philip, Acts 8, verse 6, who also was one of the seven. Although Philip performed signs to confirm his message at Samaria, he could not give the Holy Spirit to others. Apostles had to come from Jerusalem for this. Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. Acts 8, verse 18. Thus, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given in some way that was not possible otherwise and is not available now since the apostles are no longer with us. What was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands? Not the gift of the Holy Spirit received at baptism, Acts 2, verses 38 and 39, because it was promised to all, also subsequent generations who are baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Remember that it was through the hands of the apostles that wonders and signs were done. Acts 5, verse 12. That miraculous gifts, such as speaking in languages and prophesying, were given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, is also shown by an example of Paul. He taught 12 men at Ephesus that the baptism of John the Baptist was not sufficient. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Acts 19, verses 5 and 6. Mark also states that signs were a co-testimony to confirm the prophetic word. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Mark 16, verses 17, 18, and 20. This prediction pertained to a specific purpose, namely the confirmation of the prophetic word. Except for drinking poison, these signs are all recorded in Acts. Once the signs confirming the word were recorded in Scripture, that written testimony is sufficient to accomplish their purpose. The rich man, suffering pain in Hades, wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers because he thought if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham replied, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." Luke 16, verses 30 and 31. John, who wrote the final books of the New Testament, said, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John 20, verses 30 and 31. The testimony has been preserved as sacred scripture. The faith was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude, verse 3. The eyewitnesses are no longer with us, but we have their testimony in written form, which has the same validity as oral testimony. God commanded that the gospel be made known to all nations by prophetic scriptures. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. The scriptures equip us thoroughly. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. An evil generation seeks a sign. When Jewish leaders said, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you," Jesus replied, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40. It is wrong to seek signs when sufficient signs have already been given and recorded. The resurrection is the sign for all times, proving that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 1, verse 4. God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Acts 17, verse 31. We have this assurance through reliable testimony in Holy Scripture. The Lord is risen indeed. Luke 24, verse 34. In latter times, signs are performed by false prophets. The New Testament describes none other than false prophets performing signs in latter times. The second beast in Revelation, also called the false prophet, performs great signs. Revelation 13, verses 13 through 15, and Revelation 19, verse 20. Spirits of demons perform signs. Revelation 16, verse 14. Jesus said, "False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Matthew 24, verse 24. Paul wrote, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. One man asked me why God did not just state that signs would cease after the time of the apostles. Actually, he did. We can know this truth from what the New Testament says about the purpose of signs. Why was it not stated more clearly? Since God allows false teachers to perform great signs in latter times, Revelation 13, verse 14, maybe it was to test our love for the truth. The lawless one comes with lying wonders and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. What have we learned? God has confirmed the prophetic word. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. He has authenticated the word, 1, by his own testimony, 2, by the testimony of his Spirit, 3, by the testimony of his Son, 4, by the testimony of inspired witnesses, and 5, by his verification of their testimony by signs, wonders, powers, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. These signs were done through the hands of the apostles, either directly or by laying their hands on others. The signs recorded in Scripture are sufficient for us to believe and be saved. Suppose you had a document authenticated by a notary public. What if you took it back the next day to have it notarized again? He would tell you that it can be confirmed only once. If you said, "But some have doubted the first notarization," he would reply, "Well, that's their problem, not mine." In latter times, only false prophets perform signs. Seeking signs now is evil. because sufficient signs have already been given to ratify the prophetic word and produce faith leading to salvation in those who love the truth. Let us be thankful for God's confirmation of the prophetic word. The inspired scriptures are absolutely reliable and furnish us completely for every good work. Amen.
Amen.